إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يحمد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كتاب الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، we begin as always by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledging He is the one that we worship, He is the one that we seek forgiveness from, He is the one that we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him. And whoever is misled, none can guide him except Allah alone. And I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah alone who has no partners. And I testify that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. After that, the best speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad alayhi as-salatu was-salam. And the worst of all new matters are the newly invented matters in worship. And every newly invented matter in worship is a bid'ah, innovation. And all bid'ah is misguidance, and all misguidance leads to the hellfire. Amma ba'd. We'll welcome the dear brothers and sisters again from the book Durus at-Tarbawiyya min Shahr Ramadan, Educational and Training Lessons from the month of Ramadan, by the Sheikh Dr. Muhammad ibn Ghalib al-Amri, hafidhullah. And in the book, it is the first lesson, Dars al-Awwal, which is the increase in Iman, Ziyadatul Iman. And this is one of the lessons that we learn from, that we gain from this month of Ramadan. This is one of those lessons of Ziyadatul Iman, which gives us tarbiyah, which gives us this training, this cultivation, this education of the increase of Iman. So the Shaykh says, Al-Iman, according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Ahlul Iqtikad al-Sahih, that Iman, faith, belief, according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and those who are on the correct Aqidah, correct belief, is that Aqidah, belief, is with the heart, and it is a statement with the tongue, and doing good deeds with the limbs. Its increase is with righteous deeds, and its decrease is with disobedience and sinning. So this is the definition of Iman, faith, belief, and having this Iman in the person, a believer, a Muslim, is that he has this belief with certainty in his heart. He has this i'tiqad. He believes in that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed in. He believes in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran and in the authentic hadith. So he believes in that completely, wholeheartedly. So the place of this belief and this faith, this Iman, is the heart. This is where it starts from. And that's why some of the Salaf used to mention, or some of the righteous people mention, that when they used to see a person praying, especially during the Ramadan, he sees a man who's disabled. Either his leg is disabled or his arm, and he prays this prayer. And he finds this long Taraweeh prayer in Ramadan. He finds delight in that. And then you see the other guy who's got good health, strong, bodybuilder. He finds it difficult to stand in prayer. That's the time that you know and understand that this worship is a worship of the heart. Yeah, it's a physical worship, but it starts from the heart. That's where it begins from. This is where the quwwah, the strength is. The strength is in the heart. And that's where this worship is. And that's why this increase of Iman occurs when a person prays a Taraweeh, the Taraweeh prayer, the extra prayer in the night, and he prays it with his heart, meaning that he pays attention to what he's praying. He pays attention to the Quran being recited. He tries to grasp the words and the meanings of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So he feels this strength in his heart, his iman. And it is a statement with the tongue. Yani, i'tiqad, belief, iman, is a statement with the tongue. Yani, it's a statement that a person says. So when he says, La ilaha illallah, who makes dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, this is a statement with the tongue, testifying to it. And doing deeds with the limbs, yani doing deeds with the body, with the actions, yani praying, fasting, giving charity, helping people. If you see somebody in need, you help them. It increases with righteous deeds, how your iman increases, and it decreases with disobedience and sins. So this is the general definition of al-iman. Then the Sheikh goes on to bring an ayah in the Quran to prove what he's saying. And then it's a saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا, in Surah Mudathir, ayah 31. And the believers may increase in faith as they have, and the believers may increase in faith as this Quran is the truth. And he's talking about believers, the mu'mineen, that they increase their iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, in Surah Muhammad, ayah 17, while as for those who accept guidance, he increases their guidance and bestows on them their piety. So increase their guidance. Zadhum huda, zadhum iman, zadhum huda. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيُزِيدُ الَّذِينَ نَحْتَدَوْا هُدَى وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدًّا. And Allah increases in guidance those who walk aright, the true believers. And the righteous good deeds that last are better with your Lord for reward and better for a resort. Surah Maryam, ayah 76. So these ayat, and there are many, many ayat in the Quran that talk about the increase of iman. Increase of iman. So we know, as a Muslim, we know that iman increases and decreases. Increases when we're doing good things, and it decreases when we're doing bad things, sinning and being deficient against Allah. And this is a very important factor for the Muslim to understand this point of increase and decrease. Because otherwise, depression falls in, and difficulties become unmanageable when a Muslim doesn't have this understanding that increase of iman and decrease of iman. Increase of iman. So when a person has an increase of iman, he feels himself tranquility, calm, feels happy, feels goodness. That is because he's being obedient to Allah. But when he stops being obedient to Allah and becomes lazy and lax and does not do good actions, his iman decreases. So he starts feeling depressed and upset and confused. He doesn't know what to do. And that starts affecting him. That's why the believer understands this point, that sometimes I feel good and happy, sometimes I feel bad and down. How to get myself up again is making istighfar of my Lord, seeking forgiveness from Allah, doing righteous deeds, doing good deeds, so that the iman increases and gives you that happiness. And this can only be based upon knowledge, as we'll find out. That the more a person increases his knowledge and goodness and good deeds, the stronger he will get. And this has to be based upon the correct foundation. Because if it's not based upon the correct foundation, then it will be temporary. This increase of iman will be temporary, but if it's based upon knowledge and he understands the increase and decrease of iman and how to increase that iman and how to keep away from the decrease of iman, that will benefit him greatly in this dunya and in the hereafter. But if a person doesn't understand and he only does it temporarily, like some of our Muslims, they go out, they say, go with us for 40 days. And we knock on people's doors and we call them to the masjid and you see amazing effects of iman on yourself. Yes, but that's all with no knowledge. That's a temporary thing that you do based upon something which is false. Yes, calling people to the masjid is a good thing. Going and sitting in the masjid is a good thing. But if it's not based upon knowledge and it's not done correctly, you will feel a buzz for a temporary time. But a Muslim, he learns the knowledge that Allah has set down. Like Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, al-ilmu, that knowledge is qala Allah, what Allah said, wa qala rasuluhu, what his messenger said, wa qala sahaba, what the sahaba said. This is knowledge, this is ilm. And when a person grasps on and holds on to that knowledge, and he understands that knowledge, Allah gives him increase of iman when he does the righteous act. So there are many ayat, and this is a very, very important point, and a very a dear lesson that we learn from this Ramadan. Because as we're fasting, as we're praying, there is an automatic increase of iman. So then the Shaykh goes on to say, the companions, radiallahu anhu, would have a concern with the increase of their iman, with righteous actions, and they would advise with that. Umar ibn al-Khattab would say to his companions, now then, let's increase in iman. And in another wording, come, let's increase iman. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to say, sit with us, let's increase in iman. Mu'adh ibn Jabal used to say, sit with us and let us believe for an hour, and increase the iman. So we know from these statements, that these statements, when it says, let's increase iman, come on, let's increase iman, it doesn't mean like the Sufiya understand it to mean. That they sit together in a circle in the masjid and start saying single names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or just saying, instead of saying Allahu Akbar, they say Allahu, 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 which means Allah is. And they say, this increase of iman, look at that, how you feel. Oh, look at that. You're riding high on iman. La, this is not the correct way. This is not the correct understanding of these athar. Comes the athar of the salaf, of the sahaba, are understood in context of the Quran and the sunnah. At these narrations, when it says, then let's increase iman, and increase in knowledge, increase in understanding, increase in adhkar, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. And this is what they understood. That's increasing iman, sit down, study the book of Allah. What do these ayat mean? How do we understand them? What do these hadith mean? How do we implement? We find some of the Muslims, they say, oh, we're increasing the iman by going to the, when a person dies, we read Surah Yasin for that person and pass a blessing onto the dead. Reading the Quran is very important. A lot of reward for it. But you are reciting these ayat of talaq and divorce and these type of things for a person who's dead. This is not the correct way. This was not the way of the salaf. So this, let us increase our iman, is increase in knowledge. Al-ilm. The Shaykh goes on to say, the increase of iman in this month is a matter well known, due to having a concern with good actions and keeping away from sins and limiting its pathways. And we find that this is the case with the people. This is what they do, that because their iman automatically increases, to some of the weaker Muslims, what they do is for the television, they put a cloth on the television, they say, oh, this month of Ramadan, let's cover this. I need to hide it. and to keep away from it. So they automatically, iman increases because they're keeping away from that which is sin. And they limit the pathways of sin. And the Shaykh says, indeed, this month is from those matters which aid the worshipper who actually fulfills his right correctly so that he achieves an increase of his iman to complete his tawheed and increase in his rewards. So a person, when he does fast, he keeps away from that which is haram. And when he fasts, he generally, for the weaker Muslims, generally they pray as well. Okay. And generally they give a sadaqah because they know about this, they think it's a good action. And generally they invite people over for iftar or for to feed them. So automatically their iman increases. The Shaykh says, it is a great season for tarbiyah of the soul, a great season of training and education of the soul upon iman and upon the obligations of this month and its recommended actions. So that's why it's very important for the Muslim that he learns about those matters which increase in his iman. And he sees, he experiences this during his Ramadan. So he knows this. He takes it once in a year. The month of Ramadan, they fast, and we fast, and we do extra prayers and nawaf and many of it. The Shaykh said, it is between the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and between fulfilling obligations and leaving off prohibited actions. It is about doing recommended deeds and keeping away from dislike matters. It is about having concern with spending one's time with that which will bring a person closer to his Lord, Jalla wa Ala. The concern the believer has with good deeds in Ramadan become clear with many matters, and from them, and then the Shaykh goes on to list some of the good deeds, good actions by which this aspect of increase of iman become clear. This aspect of increase of iman becomes clear from these following actions. So if we go back a bit, we find it is a good season for training our soul and for fulfilling obligations and leaving off prohibited actions. So the first one he mentions here is having concern with reciting the Qur'an. In reciting the Qur'an, there is a great prize and plentiful reward. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever read a letter from the Book of Allah, then he will receive a reward for it. Really, so every letter that you read in the Book of Allah, the Qur'an, in Arabic, every letter that you will receive a reward for it. And the Prophet said, and every good reward is multiplied by 10 the like of it. So every letter is worth 10 times. It's worth 10 times the reward. The Prophet said, I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is a letter, but Alif is a letter, and Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. These are letters in Arabic from the Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ showing you this example of this, that Alif, when we say anything that we recite, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, imagine all the amount of letters that there is out there in these words, Arabic words. You find that Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, Mim is a letter. So he's explaining the great reward that a person gets for reciting Quran. For reciting Qur'an, and this is a hadith collected by Tirmidhi and authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani in Silsila Sahiha. So the great reward for reciting Qur'an, and this gives us encouragement. Gives us encouragement to recite the Qur'an, not just in Ramadan, but outside of Ramadan as well. Gives us encouragement to recite the Qur'an as much as we can. And there are beautiful, beautiful narrations from the companions of the Prophet the great reward for reciting Qur'an and the great benefit of reciting Qur'an. One of the Salaf, he said, every time I increased in reading a portion of the Qur'an, blessings increased in my time. And I continued increasing in reading until I reached reading 10 ajza, 10 parts of my portion of reading. That's how much he would regularly read because of the great blessing in his time. Because a person feels If I read Quran, it will take up my time. I can do many other things. But the more Quran you read, the more blessing you will have in your time, and more time will you will have. More time you will have. And that is similar to giving charity. As we know, that money doesn't decrease from giving charity. I said, well, hang on, but I'm giving money. I'm giving it away. But rather, the Prophet also mentioned, it increases. It increases. Your wealth increases. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses your wealth. And this is the situation here. Allah blesses your wealth. And here with Quran, Allah blesses your time. Allah blesses your time with the Quran. The Shaykh continued, he said, the Prophet ﷺ would have a concern with studying the Quran in this month. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger ﷺ was the most generous of people in goodness. And he would especially be the most generous when it came to Ramadan. Because we know that this is a special month. A month full of barakah and khair, blessings and goodness. So the Prophet ﷺ was most generous in Ramadan. Jibreel would meet him every night in Ramadan. And the Prophet ﷺ would read to him the Quran. And when the Prophet ﷺ used to meet Jibreel, he would be more generous in goodness than a strong wind blowing. And it's collected by Bukhari and Muslim. So it shows us the great concern the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have with reciting Quran in the month of Ramadan. So we should really push ourselves. And it shouldn't just be in Ramadan, but rather it should be outside Ramadan as well. We should push ourselves to recite the Quran as much as we can. So this is something that will come as an intercession for us. This recitation of Quran will come as a recitation for us. Especially if it keeps us up at night in Ramadan reciting. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, read the Quran, since indeed it will come on the Day of Judgment interceding for its companions. So something very easy for us to do, very easy, simple for us to do, to sit down and recite the Quran, there is a great reward for that. There's a great reward for reciting Quran. The next righteous action with which we have increase of iman, the Sheikh mentions, is having concern with optional deeds of worship. Having concern with optional deeds of worship. The Sheikh goes on and talks about the regular sunan prayers. The regular sunan prayers. The unrestricted optional prayers. The sunan prayers, the sunan al-rawatib, or al-mutlaq al-tatawwa. The unrestricted optional prayers. So the regular sunan prayers before the dhuhr, after the dhuhr, before the asr, after maghrib, after isha, before for fajr, the sunnah prayers that the Prophet ﷺ used to regularly pray. And the unrestricted optional prayers, the nawafil prayers, these type of prayers. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ used to have a concern with. And this is, there's no doubt that this increases us in iman. The Sheikh said, there is no doubt that these have an increase in the iman of the worshipper. They are an aid for him, for protection, for protecting and conserving his fast from mistakes and defects. Yani, that the more that the person prays, the more that the person prays, the stronger his fast will be. The stronger his fast will be, and the more perfect his fast will be. Because good actions at the end of the day, on the Day of Judgment, will be placed upon a scale. They will be placed upon a scale against our bad deeds. And this scale is something which is real. It's not something which is imaginary. It's a real scale, physical scale. And our good actions will be placed on one side, and our bad actions will be placed on the other side. So that's why we push ourselves to do as many good actions, righteous actions as much as we can. So the scale of our good deeds will be heavier. the scale of our good deeds will be heavier. Remember that it's not just deeds of worship in the sense of prayer, these type of things, extra prayers or anything like this, but rather everything that you help with a good intention that you help your parents. So, for example, helping your parents washing the dishes. Your mother stands there after having fed the family and she's going to wash the dishes and the glasses and everything. So you helping your mother doing this is a righteous action. It's a good deed. It's a good deed. You're helping your mother, your father, clean up the house, is a good deed. Helping your father wash his car is a good deed. Helping your mother with the clothing or something or whatever is a good deed. So don't think that it's just, okay, I'm going to do extra prayer, I'm going to do extra Quran, but when it comes to these other things, I'm not going to do that. No. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, smiling at your brother is a good deed. So we have many, many good deeds that we can do during the day, and especially in Ramadan. People seem to limit it, thinking it's just ibadah, which is that which you only do in the masjid. So I'm fasting, I'm going to be in the masjid. What about helping your Muslim brother? What about helping your Muslim brother? A brother needs to move house. Let's go and help him. The more hands that help, the lighter the work is. Someone has a need, car breaks down, go help him if you can. Anything that you can help with. You hear of somebody being sick, go help him, bring happiness to him. These are all aspects and deeds which will help a person with their fast. The next good deed that the Shaykh speaks about is having a concern with the Salat al-Tarawih. The Salat al-Tarawih is a prayer that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray in Ramadan at night. Outside Ramadan, he would pray the title, the definition is called Tahajjud. Yeah, to pray during the night. And during the Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ used to pray with a prayer called Salat al-Tarawih. And they are all night prayers. They are prayers that are prayed, extra prayers prayed in the night. As for the one in Ramadan, it is called Salat al-Tarawih. So, here the Shaykh mentioned, so just as he exerted in his day with fasting, the believer pushed himself, he also exerts by praying in the night. By praying in the night. Okay? This is a prayer, this shows us that this is special for Ramadan, that we do a prayer in congregation together. So we fasting during the day and praying during the night. That the Shaykh brings a statement by Hafidh ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, one of the great students of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He said, know that in the month of Ramadan, there are two jihads. There are two jihads. Jihad here being pushing oneself, exerting oneself. There are two jihads of the self, bi nafsihi, for his own self, which take place for the believer. Jihad of the daytime with fasting, okay? Jihad of the daytime with fasting, and jihad of the night with standing for prayer. Jihad of the night with standing for prayer. So Ibn Rajab carries on, he says, so whoever gathers these two, between these two jihads, fulfills their rights, is patient with them, then he is given his reward without limit. Without hisab, bighayri hisab, the reward is so great. That he fulfills these two jihads, does them correctly, fasting for the sake of Allah, keeping away from that which is haram, and keeping away from that which is food and drink, and his desires for intimacy during the day. And he stands in the night for the prayer, then he gets a reward, we lay to his son. Then the Shaykh goes on that the believer has a concern for this prayer, due to what he knows of its excellence and its reward. And from that is what was narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whoever prayed during the night of Ramadan due to iman, and seeking a reward that he has forgiven his previous sins. And his previous sins are forgiven. When come Ramadan, Iman and Weshna Samad, why does he pray the night prayer? He prays the night prayer because of his Iman. He has the desire in his heart, yani, to fulfill what the Prophet recommended, to worship his Lord, hear the Quran being recited. This is the tarbiyah that, this is the training he's getting in Ramadan, this love of hearing the Quran being recited. And he does this as a reward, and he's forgiven his previous sins. So this is a great reward for this. This is directed by Bukhari and Muslim. Then the Sheikh says, and also what has been narrated by Tirmidhi of Abu Dharr, who said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who prays with the Imam until he leaves, then it is written for the prayer for the person that he prayed the whole night. So authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani. Whoever prays with the Imam until he leaves, and it is written for him, for the person that he prayed the whole night. This is a great reward that a person gets by praying the Taraweeh with the Imam. Going to the Masjid and praying the Taraweeh gets his great reward, great prayer. Gets his great reward that is written as if he was praying the whole night. Even though he didn't pray the whole night, he only prayed a portion of the night with the Imam. But he gets this great reward. The next action that the Sheikh mentions is feeding the fasting person. Feeding the fasting person. And this is from a hadith which is from Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani, the Iran, who said, the Prophet said, whoever opened the fast of a fasting person, then he will receive the reward, the like of the fasting person, except that it will not decrease anything from the reward of the fasting person. Okay? Whoever opened the fast of a fasting person. So that's why we rush to invite people over to break fast in our house. And if we can't, then we distribute food. Or we can't, when you distribute just dates, so that people open their fast. There's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars, whether it's you feed the person or you just open the fast. But it seems as if Allah knows best, that the strongest opinion is that even if you open the fast of a person and gave them some water, gave them some dates. So imagine that person is sitting there and he's going to open fast with your dates. Whoever opened the fast of a fasting person, then he will receive the reward of the like of the fasting. You get the reward like he's getting the reward. The reward is adib, like we mentioned before, previous lesson. Only Allah knows the amount of reward that you'll get for fasting. And then the Sheikh goes on to mention, as well as other deeds of worship, which a worshipper does and has concern for doing them during Ramadan, then all of these are a means for an increase of his iman and his taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing good righteous deeds increases our iman. Keeping away from haram, it increases our iman. The Sheikh said, a person who watches over the matter of his iman knows the increase of iman and his deficiency in himself, and his circumstances, and in his deeds of worship for Allah azza wa jalla. The person knows themselves when their iman is decreasing. The more that they do haram, the more they find that iman decreases. If he is deficient in this, then he feels and senses with the weakness of his iman. Yeah, he feels this. So that's why it's very important a person realizes his circumstance. Why am I in this situation? What is happening? Why is my iman decreasing? What is it that I'm doing? Check. Am I doing something that which is haram, that was not pleasing to Allah? That's why I'm having problems with my wife and my children. I'm having problems with my wife because I'm the one who's doing that which is haram. Otherwise, Allah will give me something which is good. Okay. It can be the other way, that, you know, the circumstances around you are making you feel bad and making you weak in your iman. And then you have to check that. Maybe my wife is the problem, because she's not fulfilling her rights to Allah. Okay? So we encourage each other to do that which is good. We encourage it. A wife encourages her husband. The husband encourages the wife. A brother encourages his sister. A sister encourages his sister. We encourage each other in doing good deeds in a good way, using wisdom and using good language. So if he's deficient in this, then he feels and senses with the weakness of his iman, and he knows that he's upon deficiency, and that he's far from the level of the servitude of worship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered his worships with. When he increases with these acts of obedience, he feels and senses the increase of iman. It's clear. We know it. Indeed, a human being knows himself the best. Therefore, whoever increases in obedient deeds increases in iman. Due to the increase of his obedience, Allah is so much. That comes to the end of the lesson, part of the lesson one from this book, Durus al-Tarbawiyya min Shahr al-Ramadan. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan for listening. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.